Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 24 degrees under sunny skies. Today is Monday, February 24th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Today marks the 35th day of the Alaska Legislature, and that means the cutoff for introduction of personal legislation. After that, only committees are allowed to introduce bills or resolutions. More than 600 bills and resolutions have been introduced so far during the 28th legislature, which began last year. About 70 bills have passed, according to the legislature's website. Work continues on the major issues, including the gas pipeline project, state budget, and education. But other things to watch this week include legislation that would define what constitutes a medically necessary abortion for purposes of Medicaid payments, a bill that would bar discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity or expression, and confirmation hearings for three commissioners. The House Judiciary Committee will take up discussions Wednesday on a proposed constitutional amendment allowing state funds to go to private and religious schools. The bill, sponsored by Representative Wes Keller, a Republican from Wasilla, drew lengthy public testimony last week. Keller said he plans to close public testimony on the bill and begin committee discussion during the Wednesday meeting. And University of Alaska officials have yet to respond to a Senate bill that would allow legally concealed firearms to be carried on University of Alaska campuses. Senate Bill 176, sponsored by Senator John Coghill, a Republican from North Pole, would prohibit the university from enacting firearms bans on its campuses with the exception of restricted areas. Coghill said he believes the university's policy goes against state law. He also says as a state institution, the university should not be allowed to implement such bans on carrying firearms. During the Board of Regents' Thursday meeting in Fairbanks, neither UA President Patrick Gamble nor Board Chairwoman Patricia Jacobson took a stance on Coghill's bill. Governor Sean Parnell appointed civil engineer and legislative lobbyist Sam Keto III to fill the House District 32 seat vacated last month by Juneau Representative Beth Curtula. In a news conference, Parnell said he picked Keto for his vision, knowledge of district communities, and statewide experience.
Has a good working knowledge of everything from economic development to engineering to transportation to commercial fishing. I mean, quite a wide range of experience across the state.
Keto is currently lobbying the legislature for an engineering firm and his family's lobbying firm, which has tourism, healthcare, and fish processing contracts, as well as telecommunications firm GCI. He says he will terminate his contracts if he's confirmed by House Democrats. Keto was one of three Juneau Democrats nominated for the seat by local party officials after public interviews. Parnell passed over Juneau Assemblymember Jesse Keel, an aide to Juneau Senator Dennis Egan, and Catherine Reardon, an administrative aide to Anchorage Representative Andy Josephson. The governor has asked House Democrats to vote to confirm Keto on the House rather than in closed caucus. Democrats are expected to determine today which confirmation process they will use. Keto hasn't always been a Democrat. He said he switched his voter registration from nonpartisan to Democrat about 2004. Over the years, he's contributed to a number of Republican campaigns. If he's confirmed, Keto said his first priority is to make sure the state library archives and museum facility can be completed. The project still needs about $37 million. Keto said he's also concerned about the state's economy.
With declining oil revenues, with large mega projects out there that may or may not bring in significant revenue, and trying to look past that fiscal chasm to where everybody in Alaska doesn't have to worry about, are we going to have high enough oil prices or enough production, a balanced economy, a diversified economy. I'm looking forward to that future where we can have a stable economy.
Unlike Curtula, who held the seat for 15 years, Keto would not say how he will vote on the referendum to roll back the state's current oil tax law passed by the legislature last year. He said he needs to do more research on the issue. Curtula voted against the legislation last year and has campaigned to convince voters to reject the new law when it comes up for a statewide vote in August. The former House Minority Leader resigned her seat on January 24th to take a fellowship at Stanford University. And several members of the coalition opposing the development of the proposed Pebble Mine headed to Washington, D.C. to take their message to members of Congress and the administration of President Barack Obama. The names include Hollywood legend Robert Redford. Mike Mason reports.
Last month's release of the Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment by the EPA has emboldened many of the opponents of the Pebble Mine to step up their lobbying efforts for permanent protections for the Bristol Bay region from the specter of large-scale mining. As part of the lobbying effort, a panel discussion will be held Tuesday afternoon in Washington, D.C. Taryn Kiekau-Heimer is a senior policy analyst with the Natural Resources Defense Council. She says the visit to Washington, D.C. will bring together leaders from the loose-knit coalition that formed to oppose the Pebble Mine in an effort to inform Washington's policymakers about the issue.
The whole purpose of this trip is to sort of spotlight EPA's, Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment, which found that a mine like this would have devastating impacts. And these groups have been traipsing around the Hill, for years. And finally, the EPA has come out with some definitive science, and we really want policymakers to be aware of and support the science.
The panel discussion will be held Tuesday afternoon at the United Methodist Building, which is right across from the Dirksen Senate Office Building, which should make it easy for members of Congress, staffers, and others to attend. The panel will include representatives with NRDC, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, and the United Tribes of Bristol Bay. Another of the participants will be Kim Williams. She's the executive director of New Namta Alukastai, which is a coalition of tribes and native corporations in Bristol Bay that has long opposed large-scale mining in the region. Williams says she's going to Washington, D.C. to thank the EPA for finishing the Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment and to ask them to follow up on the petition submitted in 2010 to invoke its authority under the Clean Water Act to stop the issuance of dredge and fill permits for the Pebble Mine project. Williams supports the EPA doing this even before the Pebble Limited Partnership files for permits.
We also want to remind them that they are still sitting on those petitions by tribes of Bristol Bay that asked EPA to come in and to protect the waters of Bristol Bay from large-scale development. And so our message back there is you need to respond. It's been since 2010. We thank you for the watershed assessment. The work is not done, and we would like you to move into 404C.
The proposed Pebble Mine would sit on land owned by the state of Alaska, and the area in question has always been open to mineral exploration and possible development. While there is widespread opposition to the mine in the Bristol Bay region, there are many people in Alaska who believe the developers of the proposed mine should be able to put forward a plan and enter the NEPA permitting process. State Senator Kathy Geisel from Anchorage recently sent a letter of support to Northern Dynasty Minerals and published an opinion piece lamenting the efforts by many opponents to get the Obama administration to basically veto the mine before it even enters the permitting system.
The environmental organizations will always be naysayers to resource development. And it's important for Alaskans to really allow a process to go forward, look at both sides, and try to wait before drawing a conclusion so that it's an informed conclusion.
Another of the state lawmakers who recently sent a letter of support to Northern Dynasty Minerals is State Representative Mike Chenault from Nikiski. He's the Speaker of the Alaska House. He takes issue with the stance taken by U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington State, calling for President Obama to use authority under the Clean Water Act to veto the permits that would be needed for the Pebble Mine developers to go forward.
I realize that the senator from Washington might have some constituents that own permits in Bristol Bay, but Bristol Bay is an Alaskan issue and not a Washington issue in my mind. I didn't go to Washington and tell them, that I didn't want them to build a refinery in Cherry Point, because that's not the people who I represent. I represent the people of Alaska, and I think that others from other states might be best to keep their nose out of our business.
The campaign to stop development of the Pebble Mine has picked up a big ally. Actor Robert Redford has long been known for his environmental work, and he wrote an opinion piece that was published in USA Today. In his opinion piece, published Thursday, Redford noted the tremendous salmon resource at the heart of the economy in the Bristol Bay region, and he claims the Pebble Mine would threaten the ecosystem and the salmon. Redford believes the recently released Bristol Bay Watershed Assessment settles the argument that no large mine should be built at the headwaters of Bristol Bay. He ended his opinion piece by calling for the EPA to take action and stop the Pebble Mine once and for all. Robert Redford is a trustee with the Natural Resources Defense Council, which is opposed to development of the Pebble Mine. A representative with the NRDC will be part of Tuesday's panel discussion in Washington, D.C. that's focused on the mine and the campaign to stop development. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 1 minute before 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. It's 24 degrees in downtown Sitka under fair skies. Throughout our listening region, the forecast calls for sun today and temperatures in the mid to upper 30s. In Sitka and Port Alexander specifically, it should be sunny today with highs around 38 and east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour, and mostly clear tonight with lows 21 to 29, east winds 5 to 15 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour late, and partly cloudy tomorrow with highs around 42. Let's take a look at things going on in our listening region. The Cake Health Center is open Mondays and Fridays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 785-3333. And the Yakutat Community Health Center is open Mondays and Fridays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To make an appointment, call 784-3275. Parent Hot Swim is taking place today, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 at Blatchley Pool. Cost is $5 for a parent and a child. Energy specialist Art Nash will give a video conference on radon from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Kettleson Library tonight. You can contact the Cooperative Extension at 747-9440 for more information. The Alaska Native Brotherhood Camp No. 1 will meet 6:30 to 8 p.m. tonight at the AMB Hall. Community and ANB ANS members are invited. And the Greater Sitka Arts Council's Monday Night Jam will take place at the Loft, 7 to 9 p.m. tonight. Call 747-5482 for more information. It's 8:01.